Amen. Amen. It is a it's a privilege to be here with you. I have 45 minutes and I plan on using every minute of it. All right. So it's good to be here. I want to first, I think the politically correct thing to do is to thank your administration for allowing me to speak. But before they ask, the Spirit of God arranged this divine appointment. And that's how I view it. I'm here on his business to share his word. And I know that somebody is going to be saved during this week. Somebody is going to be saved during this week. And that's why we preach the foolishness of preaching. Many years ago, in an empty tent, the renowned and late evangelist E.E. Cleveland was about to begin an evangelistic series, and there were three people in the tent. The tent could hold about 300, but the tent had three people in it. And someone said, "Well, what are you going to do, preacher?" And he said, "I'm going to preach to everybody who's outside of the tent." And so this morning, wherever you are on this campground, I'm preaching to you, because those that are here already, we're already saved, but we're preaching to those outside of the facility this morning. You know, I have a sister in my church. She has continued to move the post. We've been open for 2 years. We took about 2 weeks off, in the midst of COVID. And she says, "Pastor, I'm not coming back to church until this happens." And she has continued to move the goalposts. She has been around the world on flight. She's been to the mall with thousands of people. She has been to the grocery store, but she still does not feel safe. Come on, can I get a witness to come to church? But we're getting there. We're working toward that. But there is no place like being together. For those that are watching online, it's a wonderful experience to be in your cabin, in your trailer, and watching the service. And for those that are at home in the various parts of the Maritime, but there's no place like this place, being in this place to hear the Word of God. And so this morning, I've entitled the time that I have with you just before lunch as Midday Manna, Midday Manna. Now, what do we know about the miracle of the manna? We know that on the Sabbath, it did not fall. But what happened on the Friday? Come on, church. What happened on the Friday? A double portion fell on the Friday so that there was enough. And so I'm going to be with you Monday to Friday. And on Friday, I'm going to give you something a little special, because there's no preacher. No. You'll get Elder Tucker on Sabbath. But I'm going to give you something special on Friday morning. I'm inviting you to turn in your Bibles to John. John, I'm talking to you. What book did I say, church? What book did I say? I said the Gospel of John, and I'm inviting you to turn there as I open up everything that is important as far as the message. John chapter 4. Thank you for reading the scripture. I want to thank the individual. Don't know who it is, but somebody before I got here cleaned up my cabin, made my bed, and put some towels, and whoever it is, thank you. On behalf of my family and I, thank you so much. For the individual translating, I pray that God will be with you and that you will work with me. As he inspires me, he will inspire you. Let's pray, church. Come on. Father in heaven, it is not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit. And so we're begging, we're pleading for your Spirit to fall afresh, not only on the preacher, but every listener of the Word of God. So bless us as we spend time in your Word today. Disappoint us not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I have decided this week, I've got four segments that I want to share with you. And I might get a little excited. Please forgive me. I hear that you like it calm. I got a good friend that says, keep it down. We're calm. In the Maritimes, we keep it calm. If I get a little agitated, if I get a little excited, please forgive me. I still love you. All right. But I might get a little worked up whenever God's word is preached. I can't help but get excited. Can somebody say amen? All right. So this is where we're going. Help move this. Those that are working on PowerPoint, the gizmo that you've given me is not working. I'm going to work. All right. Here we go. There are four segments of the message, because I don't want to do a lot of preaching. I want to do some teaching today. I want to look at an incredible moment with Jesus, something that comes out of the heart of Scripture. I want to start with Jesus first and his word. And then I want to get into instruction. I want to get into instruction, life-changing divine appointments, because God is setting up a divine appointment for each and every one of you. And then I want to get into, we can't do anything. We may have an appointment ordered by God, but unless he's in us, we're going to mess it up. And so we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we also, the ultimate theme of leaving this place is that we're going to be involved in soul winning. Winning somebody for Jesus. What's happening? Tech guy? Everything working? Let me go back one. Okay, and I'm going to go forward one. Okay. So you can say next because it doesn't seem to be working and I don't want to be hindered by that. I'll just say next. All right, next slide, please. Next slide. And so this is something where I'm going to need you. Notice the bold print. Take it back one, please. Take it back one. Notice the bold print. It is an I word. It's an I word. Incredible, instructional, inspired, and involved. And so we're going to have something, and this is a trial run today. It's a trial run. This is going to be where we go. And so I am going to read boldly the first letter, I. And I'm going to need the audience, and it's going to be something we do every day as we begin our service. So are you ready to work with me? I am going to read the first letter, I, and you're going to finish that statement. So today, we are going to experience an incredible... Okay, let me try that one more time, because if you were going to spend a moment with Jesus, you'd be a lot more excited. So we are going to experience an what? An incredible... That's more like it. That's more like it. And we are going to get instructional. Okay, I believe that somebody, even right now, an appointment is being set up for you upon your return to wherever you live. An appointment, a spiritual divine appointment is being set up. Finally, we are going to be what? Inspired. Can't do it without the Spirit. And we are ultimately going to be involved in what? All right, let's get into the Word of God. It is in John. I'm going to read it. I'm going to break it down, and then we're going to get busy. The Word of God says in John chapter 4, if you have a Bible, if you have a device, if you have a phone, the power is not in my voice. It is in the Word of God. Find it. Find it. John chapter 4, I'm looking at verse 43. I read it in your hearing. After 2 days, he, that's Jesus, left Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that prophets have no honor in their own country. Verse 45, when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. The word of God continues. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went out to him and begged him to come to heal his son who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go. Jesus replied, your son will live. The men took Jesus at his word and departed. He took Jesus at his word and departed. The word translated royal official literally means king's man. He is one of Herod's most trusted officials. He resides in the town of Capernaum, the Fox Point of his day, probably in a well-manicured villa on a chalky cliffs overlooking the scallop blue sparkling Sea of Galilee. He lives a soft cushioned life with servants paddling around his estate attending to every one of his needs. He has wealth, rank, and privilege, But none of these can help him now. Not even Herod, with all of his imperial jurisdiction, can help him, because he has a boy at home who has a high temperature. The little boy has been reduced to that of a little limp rag doll melting feverishly away in his bed sheets. His father is worried. The boy is sick, and Mama says, "Do something." The man's service to Herod has rewarded him well. He has a beautiful home. He has ornate furnishing. He has clothes suitable for the king's service. He's a wealthy man, but none of his wealth can help him now, for his son is sick, and sick to the point of death. He has hired the best physicians that money can buy. A clutter of vials stand by the bedside of the little boy, giving testimony that none of the medicines can help him. The father has exhausted every exotic medicine prescribed, and he's even listened to the folks that they've given home remedies to help the little boy, but none of them have worked. The boy is at the point of death. The delight of his life is slipping away before his very eyes. The little boy has no hope for tomorrow, and his wife has stayed up all night hovering over the little boy, sponging down his inflamed body. Servants are running here and there, changing the bed sheets. Oh, this boy is sick. Nothing can help him now. Hope is gone. But if there's one thing that we all have, even when difficulties come, come on, can I get a witness? There is hope, that hope springs eternal. Sadly, this little boy, after a night-long vigil, his body is numb and his heart is starting to purr ever so softly. And there comes one of the servants of this great man. I've heard of a man whose name is Jesus. Anybody know who he is? I've heard about a man named Jesus. He's just returned from Jerusalem, and he's on his way back to Cana. And the last time he was in Cana, something exciting happened. You see, the last time he was in Canaan, there was a newlywed couple that was about to be embarrassed. They were about to begin their life together as the talk of the town. Here's the couple who ran out of food and wine. They would forever be known as the guest that could not provide for their guests, the wedding couple that could not provide for their guests. But Jesus worked a miracle, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. And so this same Jesus is back in Cana, and the servant is saying to this royal official, "Jesus is back in Cana," and there is an expectancy that is in the air. The healer is back in town. He's left Jerusalem. He's put the pundits and the priests on the run. He's changed things in Jerusalem, and he's come back to Cana. I think he can do something for your son. And with his hope springing up in his heart, he realizes that his wealth, his rank, his privilege mean absolutely nothing. There, his money is useless to help his little boy. And so he decides that he's going to do what only he can do. He's going to make a pilgrimage to Pugwash. Come on, are you listening to me this morning? The Pugwash, he's going to Canaan. I gotta meet Jesus. I got to find him. I've got to find him. The Bible tells us that the time comes when he meets Jesus. This is where the spirit of prophecy comes on to play, because he has taken the word of his servant. He has finally come into contact with Jesus. And Dennis, when he looks at Jesus, his faith begins to melt, because he sees an ordinary man. Oh, he's not got on a suit today. He's looking dusty and worn. Could this be the man? And based on his physical appearance, faith begins to wean and lean inside of him. This can't be the man. There are so many times when we judge people by the book of their lives, and it's wrong. And the miracle that is at his fingertips is about to disappear, because he's made a judgment call on Jesus based on what he looks like. Ellen White says that his faith begins to falter when he sees Jesus. He sees one that is plainly dressed, dusty and worn from travel, and he begins to doubt the person of Christ. The miracle at his fingertip, but he's beginning to doubt. It's ever so close, but he is beginning to doubt. So finding the Word of God, because I want you to notice in the Word of God, every word is loaded with information. The Bible says that he's in Canaan, but you know what? Previous to the text, he's in Samaria. And in Samaria, the people have listened to the testimony of a woman, and they've come to meet Jesus, and their lives are changed. But in Galilee, unless they see signs and wonders, what is it about Adventism that we've got to see fireworks, we've got to see explosions? You see, the book of John reveals this, that we must take God at his word, because his word is as powerful as his touch. And there are some people, they are looking for a miracle cure. They're looking for somebody to touch them so that they can fall down and gyrate all over the place. But the word of God, for those that are living in 2022, the word of God is as strong and as powerful as his touch. And so we got to take God at his word. And so the Bible says that his faith is beginning to weaken. He's looking at Jesus. And many of us, we want signs and we want miracles. We view God as a vending machine God. We put our quarter in. Listen, times are tough. Let's move that quarter up to a dollar. We put our dollar in and the chocolate does not fall out and we want to shake the machine. God, I've lived right. Why am I sick? I've been faithful with my tithes and offerings. Why have I lost my job? My family is a hot mess, and I've been serving you, and we put conditions on God and whether we're going to trust and follow him and believe him. This man had come to Jesus, unless you heal my little boy, I will not believe. And there are people today in this audience, if truth be told, you've put a condition on God. God, I know you exist. I know you're real. I know you are all powerful. But unless I get a vending machine promise or healing from you, I will not believe. And the truth is, we've got to believe God because God is God. And God can heal anybody he wants at any time, in any place, because he's God. But there are times when he allows us to walk through the valley. We're studying that in our Sabbath school lesson, aren't we, brethren? There are some times when he allows us to walk through the crucibles of life. And when we walk through those crucibles, yet though he slay me, I'm still going to serve him, huh? I'm going to hold on to him. I don't know what he's trying to teach me. It's paining me, but I'm going to trust him where I cannot trace him. I may not see him today, but I have his word. I'm going to rest on his word. I'm going to take him at his word. And so this father, he comes to Jesus, and the miracle church almost escapes him because he cannot get past the visual image of Christ. This can't be the Messiah. If he's the one to remove the Romans and bring this euphoria to the land of Israel, he cannot be the one. And just before he turned his back, thank God for the spirit that spoke to his heart, huh? Just before he left the blessing, the spirit got a hold of him. Ellen White said that Jesus knew his situation before he left home that morning. Before he got out of his bed to say, I'm going to meet the master. Ellen White says that God had already woken him up and Jesus knew who he was going to meet. I'm talking divine appointment. There is no mistake. In the middle of this first Monday that you're here, when so many have made a decision that I can't risk my health, I can't be on a camp meeting ground when everything seems to be going upside down, but the Spirit of the living God convicted you to be here today. And I'm telling you this morning that if you are here, you are not going to hear a preacher. You're going to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to set you free and fill you with faith to live the Christian life. Word of God continues. Unless you see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Do you serve a popcorn cotton candy god? Step right up, circuses and show. What type of God do you serve? Are you only faithful when he's good to you? Can you praise him in the good times and the bad times? Huh? Blessed be the name of the Lord, unless you see signs and wonders, the word of God says. Unless you will never believe in the royal official, and then he does something that this royal man has never done before. He got down on his knees. He was Herod's man. He was a royal official. He didn't do this. Everybody did that to him. But recognizing that the blessing was about to slip away, recognizing that he had a limp doll of a son back home, sweating out his life, he decides to do something he's never did before. He gets down and he begs. The word of God says, look at this as you follow it. A son, the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus, I'm looking at the text. It seems somewhat rude, huh? Look at the text, verse 50. This man is pouring out his heart. He's pouring out his heart. He's down on his knees. He's begging the Lord, Lord, please, come to my house. Help my son. He said, go home. Go home. Go home. Your son will live. That word that created the universe, that word is still here today. Believe on the word of the Lord. The scriptures are true. They are God-breathed, God-inspired. And notice what the text says as you're following along. It is the most important verse in the entire little pericope. Notice what it says. The man took Jesus at his word and did what? Departed. He took Jesus at his word and said, I'm going home. Bonnie, I'm going home. I'm taking him at his word. And notice this. What is so unique about the text? If I have a son who is on his deathbed, I'm racing home. I don't care if it takes 15 hours to get the pug wash. I'm driving home. And if I'm not driving home, my wife would make me drive home. Yeah, no. I'm not going home. I'm going to visit Halifax before I go home. What? You got a son who is at the point of death? You need to get home. And I said, no. Jesus said my son will live. I'm taking a tour before I go home. Man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, I believe that somebody is going to be driving home this camp meeting season, and God is going to work a miracle in somebody's life. I believe that somebody has come to this place by faith. There's nothing magical about this place by the sea. But this is a place where we are calling on Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. There is something that is going to happen in the lives of God's people because we are going to take him at his word. Can I get an amen today? We are going to take him at his word, and God's going to do something miraculous because I believe in incredible moments with Jesus. When you spend time opening the word of God, these stories come alive. And the same God who delivered this little boy, he can deliver you and me. The Bible said he's going to take this royal official and he's going to create a launching pad for ministry in the Maritimes. This man who goes home, he is going to start the first house church in Galilee. From this man who is healed, this family, this wife, this son, this is going to be the first house church in Galilee. And I'm sure the first deacon and deaconess are going to be that husband and wife who at the Canaan, Feast of Canaan, I'm sure they're the deaconess and deacon. That's the first church. And so let me pivot now. Let me pivot from incredible moments with Jesus. I know some of you, you're going to give me as much time as the lunch bell rings. So let's work with them. We got a few minutes and we got stuff to cover. An incredible moment with Jesus. Isn't it amazing to hear the story of Jesus, church, huh? That Jesus always has time. He always has time. I'm so glad that he had time for this father whose son was at the point of death. You know, about a year and a half ago, I decided that I was going to introduce a book to my church. The problem was during the pandemic, I couldn't get it from Tennessee to Oshawa. And I said, Lord, I had gone up in front of a church and I had promised them, we're going to be starting a series, life-changing divine appointments. We're going to be starting a 30-day challenge. And I promised it. And now I was on the verge of losing face because the books were stuck in Tennessee. And Canada Post, and during the pandemic, no one was moving anything. And I said, Lord, how am I going to get this book into my people? Because I promised it. I put it in a bulletin for 2 weeks in a row. And the Lord allowed a young student who was coming home for Christmas, brought it during the Christmas week so that January 1, we could start on time and start a series, Divine Appointments with Jesus. I believe that each and every one of you, God has called to have a divine appointment. Listen to the story of Faye Mullins. Faye Mullins is a Seventh-day Adventist, but she's got a problem. She stutters. She can't put two sentences together unless she's stuttering. And yet somebody called her to be a soul winner for Jesus and divine appointments. And this is her. Can I tell you about Jesus? But she had a determination to be a soul winner. And so what she said, Lord, I pray that you will fix my voice every time I go to the grocery store. Every time I go to the grocery store, I'm going to buy groceries. But Lord, set it up so that when I'm at the grocery store, I'm able to meet somebody and share Christ. And to make a long story short, she meets people at the grocery store. She prays for God to lead her when she does her groceries. To this day, she lives in Calgary, Alberta. 250 people have come to Christ, been baptized, started a church because of this stuttering woman that has a prayer before she goes to get groceries. So what is holding you back? What is holding me back from making a divine appointment with the Master? Set my agenda today, Lord. Give me, send me on your errands. Lord, I need to meet somebody that I can share Christ with. I need to tell you about the author of the book. The author of the book, his mother was she was a nurse. Grew up in the Adventist church, and she shares her testimony. She said, my boy is writing the book, but she said, my name is Kathy Evans Biggs. I'm a nurse. I work night shifts, and it threw my schedule off. I stopped going to church. Even though I grew up in the church, my schedule messed with me, and I gave up in my 40s. I walked away. I faithfully took my children to church, and they grew up in church. One of my sons became a minister, but he said, in my 40s, the nest was empty. My schedule was messed up, and I stopped believing, and I fell away. But there was somebody that worked her shift that had a divine appointment with God. And that individual decided, I got to reach out to this woman. She's raised children in the church. She's fallen away. And somebody, inspired by God, took a little quote out of the Desire of Ages, cut it out, clipped it out, and taped it to her nursing station. And when she came in and read the note on her little cart, it melted her heart like butter left out on a hot summer day. The Spirit began to work in her life, and she said, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And at 60 years of age, she started coming back to church and started to develop a relationship with Jesus. I'm talking divine appointments. I'm letting you know today, instead of just sitting up here and hearing preaching, that we are receiving instructions. What can I do in my community? Everybody goes to a grocery store. Now, don't tell me you don't, because I can see it. There's evidence. Does God have a divine appointment at your local grocery store? Does God have a divine appointment at your local gas station? Right? Does God have a divine appointment in your neighborhood? If you start praying, God, send somebody my way so that I can have a divine appointment. You know, it was a church. We're getting together for a little fellowship meal. The young man had been to Kingsway College, left the church. He just lived a riotous life. Was at the local grocery store. We were having a church potluck, and I had too many watermelons to carry. And I saw the young man. I said, I'm going to need your help. I can't carry 7 watermelons out of the store. And you know, sometimes we think that people are going to be angry with us because they've left us. But sometimes it is only an invitation, a kind word. I said, can you give me a hand? And put the watermelons in his cart. And I said, would you mind taking the cart to the back of my van? And there at the back of the van, that little 2 minutes turned into 20 minutes. And at the end of the 20 minutes, I said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? He said, Pastor, I had no direction in my life. I now know what God has called me to do. I said, you got a girlfriend? He said, I don't need that right now. All I need is Jesus. Got his life figured out. Could it be, brothers and sisters, that there are divine appointments all around us? Huh? Could it be? Now, there is a quote. There is a quote that I want you to read. It's from Spurgeon. Move the slide, please. Come on, work with me, team. Work with me. Listen, soul winning is the chief business of the Christian minister. Come on, President Miller, if you've got guys that say, we want to talk about sailing and farming and everything. No. Listen, the chief business of the pastor is soul winning. But guess what? Not going to let any of you off the hook. It should be the main pursuit of what? Every true believer. Listen, my pastor can't do it by himself. Pastors have been assigned to energize, to inspire us, to motivate us, but we've got to do the work. We've got to do the work. Could it be that there are divine appointments? If anything will be learned this week, I pray that at the end of this week, that somebody will go home and get serious about praying for a divine appointment to happen in their life. Now, it may scare you, because some of you have never shared Christ in decades. It may scare you. Lord, I pray that you will line somebody up in my life that I'm going to have to pour truth into. Notice as we go to the next slide, and this is where we get inspiration. Notice the next slide. Work with me. We're running out of time. This is the story. Here it is. We are encouraged. Let me put on my glasses. I shall be changed, but I'm not there yet. We are to do what? We are to encourage. We are to encourage in one another that living faith which Christ has made possible for every believer to have. The work is to be carried forward as the Lord prepares the way. When he brings his people into straight places. Anybody been in a straight place, huh? Anybody been in a straight place? Anybody in a straight place right now? In other words, a straight place is a difficult place. When God brings us into difficult places, notice what the Word of God, notice what Ellen White says. It is their privilege to assemble together to do what? Prayer. I remind my church every Sabbath, the church is not a house of singing. It's not a house of preaching. But a church is always a house of what? Prayer. A house of prayer. When we are in a difficult spot, you know, we've come to this segment in the Advent church history that before we pray, we call a lawyer. You didn't get that. Before we pray, we seek a lawyer. God is calling for us to be a people of prayer. We're in difficult times. In a couple of days, a good thing is going to happen, but it has not only ethical, but end time implications. On Wednesday, 160,000 people will meet on the plains of Abraham. Misting machines and water bottles will be given out. Our government will come to a standstill. Our government leaders will accept and listen to the apology of the Pope, who represents 1.3 billion people on planet Earth. And it's a good thing that an apology is coming. But make no bones about it, every apology has a kicker. Maybe it's time that this secular nation woke up and recognized that we need to get back to God. But I'm telling you, with every good thing, something bad will come attached to it. But notice, when he brings us into difficult places, it's time to pray. Somebody said, Pastor, when I'm in a difficult place, I bellyache. No, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. I close with another thought. Listen to what Ellen White says in the second one. The church needs the fresh, living experience of members who have habitual communion with God. dry, stale testimonies. Hello, listen, I've stopped putting the mic in the aisleways of my church during testimony time because I need to know what the testimony is going to be. I got some brothers that rehash testimonies from 30 years ago of what God has done in their life. And my question is, what has he done in the last 29 years? Do you have a fresh testimony of what God has done or is doing in your life? Are you bringing a testimony from your baptism 20 years ago? Or has God done something in your life recently? Listen to what the prophet says. The church needs the fresh living experience of members who have habitual communion with God. Dry, stale testimonies and prayers without the manifestation of Christ in them are of what? No help to people. Notice, filled with faith, light, and life. And you only get that with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Without what? With faith, light, and life. You can only have faith, light, and life when the Spirit is inside of you. What a wonderful witness would be given to those who come to hear the truth. And how many souls might be won to Christ. And so I move it to a slide that, you know what, I am not embarrassed, afraid, upset to give a portion of my message to prayer. Notice, next slide. The church, my house, shall be called a house of what? Preaching, special music, slideshows, mission stories. My church shall be called a house of what?
Prayer.
Prayer. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer starts things. God is waiting and willing to hear our prayers. In fact, he's desperate to hear our prayers. Always pray and never give up. This father was at the verge of receiving his blessing, and he saw somebody that did not meet his expectations. I want a blessing. My son is sick. He's at the point of death, but that don't look like the Messiah to me. There are no robes. He's wearing a dusty overcoat. He's wearing sandals. That does not look like a Messiah. Sometimes your miracle will come in ways that you never expected it. Always pray and never give up. I'm going to pray, but after I pray, I want you to stand with me because I want us to do something together. I want to go back 40 years. 40 years ago, I heard a little song in my local church, a little chorus, and I'm praying, but that's going to be the prayer that we close with. And I'm going to invite you to stand after I pray, and we're going to sing it together, and that's going to be our benediction. Because we're talking about incredible moments with Jesus. We're talking about instructional, life-changing moments. We're talking about being inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But God has a work for us to do when we leave here. And so this morning, let's pray together. Father, we have been inspired. You've spoken to us that we need to do something. And Lord, before we get out there and make a royal mess of things, because we'll say the wrong thing. We won't know what to do. And we'll chase people away from meeting Jesus. Lord, forgive us for who we are. But today, in this place, we've decided to accept Jesus. We've decided that we need him in our lives, Lord. We need him to inspire us and to motivate us. And there needs to be less of self and more of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we leave this place headed for lunch, I'm reminded that we could eat all the food in the world, but unless we have your words, we don't have life. And so, Lord, I pray that the word of God will rest in our souls, that we would be nurtured, that we would be fed, that the word of God is just as powerful as his touch. And so this morning, forgive us for our frailties, our faults, our weaknesses. Lord, we desire to be involved in soul winning. We desire to share the message of Jesus. We want to go back to our churches, and we want our churches to be transformed because we've met you. And so this morning, Lord, I invite everyone who is gathered here today to rise to their feet as we close with this little song. It is an appeal and it is a prayer. Stand with me. Stand with me as we close. with this little chorus. It goes like this. Has anyone ever heard this one before? Huh? We're going to close with a little chorus. Let me give you the tune. I'm not a singer, right? But I'm going to give you the tune and you're going to sing it together. This is our prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee.
Let's sing it as a prayer as we close.
Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee.
Amen, amen, amen. Enjoy lunch. See you tomorrow at what time?
11 a.m.
All right.